Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Wood Talk. Now here are three guys who came, saw, and saw it again. Until they ran out of wood. Mark, Shannon, and Matt.
All right. Guess what?
What?
It's show number 541.
That's
not like exciting.
A milestone or something? Or
I mean, I guess, why do we have to celebrate milestones on even numbers? Why can't we just do something like, you know, the odds? 541.
We have decided. Woo. It's going to be a thing.
Time for a speech.
541.
Woo, we're here again.
Yeah, finally. Okay, well, on today's show, nothing special because it's just a regular show. We're talking about...
It's never special.
No, it's not. We're talking about which tools to buy first, which hand plane to buy first, and joiner bed length. But before we get to that, we want to let you know that Wood Talk is brought to you by Rockler. Rockler's been helping customers create with confidence for over 65 years. Rockler's giving away a $250 gift card to one lucky Wood Talk listener. Enter for your chance to win before January 31st at rockler.com/woodtalk.
Can we just take a pause for a second? Did I mess this up? Was I supposed to pick some kind of thing relating to buying tools? For questions?
That clearly was a theme, but it was accidental.
Come on, it's the holiday season.
Completely accidental.
As you're reading that, I'm like, wait a second. What just happened here?
It's all the firsts. I don't know.
You know, and
first jointer bed length?
Yeah.
How's that?
That's okay.
I would like know, just on this Rockler thing, I would like we never announce... Like, who wins them? I know we're not up to that, and like Rockler doesn't let us know, but
we're not privy to that.
Basically, they don't trust us with that data. But if you've won one of these, like, call into the show and let us know what you bought. Like, I want to know that people are actually winning these gift cards, because $250 is, that's substantial, man. We've given away three or four. Well, we haven't, but Rockler, Rockler's given away like three or four of them now, right?
Okay, wait, you ready, Shannon?
Yes.
October 2022, Kelly Lally. July 2022, Justin Sykes. April 2022, Cameron White of Kentucky. They're all there. They're on rockler.com/woodtalk. But it would be nice to get the call in, or like, you know, or if they want to just tell us who it was, we can announce it on the show.
I want to hear from the people and know what they bought. I want to live vicariously through the winners. Find out.
What'd you get?
What'd you get? Ball.
Yeah, come on, show and tell, man.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Call into the show.
We'll pitch that over to Rockler and see what they say, because they don't have enough to do.
Pitch it right back.
This would be like, I didn't get that email. Sorry. Well,
or the people who want it can just write it. We don't have to pitch it to Rockler. I mean, Rockler could send us the invoice that, you know, along with the credit card information and everything. That's fine. You can do that. Maybe not.
Except for if these are all just giveaway hounds, like people who aren't even woodworkers. That's a thing that happens.
I want to know that too.
You never know. They don't listen to the show then. So, okay. We got really sidetracked there. What are we? We're at Matt's part.
Yeah, we're on my part now. Is that okay?
Yep.
Okay. So, if you want, you know, me to read your name instead of Mark read your name as a giveaway winner, you can do so. You can help support the show by going to patreon.com/woodtalk and signing up to become a patron of the show.
Woo!
What we got here? We're thanking Hector Mendez, Misha Manulis, Curtis Kerschel? Kerschel. I don't know. KK.
Where do you see an R in that name?
KK.
There's no R there.
You know, I just make up consonants to make it sound better in my head.
Yeah.
Clearly.
He's improving people's last names.
I took your last name and I improved it.
You understand this is your heritage? No, that name sounds too ethnic. Let's shorten it to John. It's like,
when my great-grandfather came over, someone suggested that they remove the U out of his name because it was too ethnic. And my grandfather put it back. He said, screw you guys. This is how it's spelled.
That's right.
It's people like Matt that ruin names.
People like Matt.
I do ruin names.
Trying to keep the
immigration
down.
Officer Matt over here. Terrible.
My claim to fame. All right. Name ruiner.
All right. Let's get to what's on the bench. Who wants to go first?
What? Is there an option?
I just wanted to see if anyone thought that would be weird.
It would be weird.
I guess I'll go first.
I'm freaked out.
I'll go.
What do I do?
I don't know what to do. So I built a little bench to go along with my little dining table that I made. So that was a fun build. It's that crisscross leg thing that I did that I wasn't entirely sure was a good idea. But it turns out once you have all the things connected and the seat actually becomes part of the structure, then suddenly it's like any other bench. So I'm super happy with the way that turned out. And then I kind of fast-tracked the dust collection installation. So we weren't going to do that, but Jason had some time while I was digging into something deep. And I said, hey, why don't you just see if we could just get the bracket on the wall, get started toward hanging the cyclone. And then much later, thinking like well into the new year, we would hang the ductwork. So the problem was, it was like taking the Band-Aid off sort of thing. We just got started with it. Totally sidetracked everything I was working on, and we did nothing but dust collection and duct work for like 2 to 3 days until it was done. But the good thing is now I'm so spoiled. Like going from tool to tool with a dust collector was torturous. And I know that's ridiculous because a lot of people do that and it's perfectly fine. It's really not. I mean, if we're being honest with ourselves, it really sucks. Pun intended. Uh-huh. I mean, you guys know it's not fun. But if you don't know any better, if that's all you've ever had, then maybe it's not that bad. But once you've been spoiled by a system that just kind of turns on when you turn on the tool, you don't have to even worry about blast gates and it's just always connected to each tool, your workflow improves. And I think maybe I don't think this is talked about enough. The improvement in workflow when you don't have to worry about connecting dust collection, it's just always there. I honestly felt completely hampered, like mentally and well, not physically. It's not that much work, but it really was like, I started to make decisions. I can't do this.
I screwed up that tenant because of the blast gate. Damn it.
Yeah. See, well, that could happen because I'm making bad decisions. I'm saying, well, the dust collector is already on that tool. And I know that's not the best tool for the job, but maybe I'll use it anyway. Like, and I probably shouldn't have because the smart thing would be to, no, that's a table saw task, not a bandsaw task. But I was making shortcuts because I didn't want to have to reset everything up and then go back and forth. So yeah, real pain in the butt, but super, super happy and feel like the shackles were kicked off. And now I could actually build and just flow through a project without all the obstacles.
I feel like that kind of sums up woodworking. Like, woodworking is doing tasks that you know could be done better somewhere else, but you're too lazy to change the blade or plug it in or like move the bandsaw away from the wall because you like tuck it. Like, seriously, even in my shop, I'll do something using like my jack plane because I'm just too lazy because it's in my hand. Like, I'm too lazy to walk 3 steps. To go pick up around. The smoothing plane. Turn around.
That's a whole 180 degrees away.
Like, I could use like the router plane to clean up that dado, but there's a chisel right there. I'm just gonna use the chisel. Yeah. You know, it's like that's
I'd imagine in your situation, Shannon, with so much dependence on the hand tools, do you find yourself doing that simply for the sake of this tool isn't sharp enough right now and I don't feel like pulling out the strop?
Oh, I've done
you know,
that.
So this one will do.
Like, and that's the even stupider thing is like stropping, it takes 10 seconds and the strop is on my benchtop. Like, I don't even have to move. I just have to reach. I don't want to be reaching for stuff. Yeah, that's
all the way over there.
The chance to turn around or reach for anything, it's not happening.
Yeah, pretty much. So that's just... Yeah. Because like you saying, well, I could do it over here, but then I'd have to like divert the dust collection. It sounds so stupid when you say it aloud, but we all do it. It's like the stupidest things, you know. So now better workflow through airflow. That needs to be like a sticker on your wall.
No, there's a t-shirt idea.
or
I like it. Well, the thing is, it was the unit that I had, the dust collector, fantastic. It was a Oneida Mini Gorilla, really easily, like easy to move around. But the problem is I've got floor pads. So even something that's easy to move around hits a 3/8 inch thick rubber floor pad and then decides it might want to tip over if you push it hard enough. So it's moving it around the shop. And then I didn't have it's a 220 plug. So I had one extension cord and I don't have a lot of outlets in the shop yet. So a lot of times it's not just moving the thing and changing the port. It's also finding the nearest available plug to then plug it in and go through that whole process. So way too much work.
Do you have your tool set up with like easy access to the ports for like some of the more difficult ones, like the table saw?
Yeah, we did. So we like routed out a short length of 4-inch with a magnetic quick connect. And that was great. Like that made it as tolerable as it was, but it still sucked. It still was terrible. So yeah, glad to be past that.
Isn't it funny? You talk about the floor pads, because I have the same ones because somebody... Mm-hmm. Somebody on some YouTube thing recommended it and I bought them, hook, line, and sinker. Welcome. But isn't it funny? Like that, the heavier the machine, that 3/8 inch difference, it might as well be 3 feet. Like when you've got a 900 pound planer, you're trying to get over that 3/8 of an inch thick lip. It's like you need a forklift in order to make that happen. It's ridiculous.
And I've got a Festool dust extractors that never cease to amaze me how easily they stop on the slightest little sliver of wood or, God forbid, an electrical cord, like its own electrical cord. Uh-huh. It's like you put a brick wall in front of that thing. The hose pops out.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, man. Well, let's get some all-terrain tires.
But here's the thing. The tires in the back are big. You know, the roller stuff, those dinky little, like, you know, hospital gurney plastic things on the front, like put some big tires on it. You don't need the maneuverability that those swivel casters provide. Like, are you really like taking high speed turns with your Festool while you're sanding? I mean, just seriously, put some big tires on all four wheels and you'd be good.
Look, I'll just take the all terrain package, please.
Yeah, exactly.
And we'll be fine. They should offer that as an upgrade.
$600.
Yeah, screw the heavy filtration.
Go. Yeah.
Give me the off-road package for another $600.
It'll be a $600 upgrade, and you can get two wheels and a gold-plated cotter pin to attach them.
But they'll be green.
Yeah, well, copper, oxidized copper-plated cotter pin. There you go.
There you go.
They'll eventually get to be green, eventually. All right, Shannon, anyway, what do you got going?
I'm building a keepsake box right now that, you know, in typical woodworker fashion, I could build a small box to put photos in, but no, I have to build a small box to put photos in and then do marquetry all over it just because,
attaboy,
you know, I could build it in a weekend, but instead I'm going to take a month and a half to build it. But you know,
good,
it's
on
fun.
You. Good.
I mean,
on
I've been, keeping it alive, keeping it alive. It's really, I don't know. I've been messing around with marquetry long enough and it's like, you know what? It's time to like put it to the test. So I'm doing like a full map of the United States on the cover of this, and I'm highlighting there are three trips that I'm highlighting, one to Colorado, one to Tennessee, and one to Michigan. So I've done the state flag of each of those states. So when you the lid has a map of the US and it's done like a satellite view. So I'm using, you know, some maple burl for the Rocky Mountains, and I've got green dyed for the Ohio River Valley, and I'm just kind of messing with that whole thing to try to make it look like a satellite image of the US, which is complicated enough. But when you lift the lid, there are then three compartments that each have their own lid on it. And the lid is the state flag of that particular area. So it's, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Cool.
But I'm also doing a floating shelf, just a big live edge floating shelf. Yes, I've gone the live edge thing.
The trend is over. Shan's doing it.
Yep, absolutely. I guess I'm just an idiot, or I have a bad can of Osmo, but I have never had a decent, people rave about Osmo. I have never had a good experience with this stuff. And I know it's supposed to go on thin, but like the first time I ever used it, you know, it was like, okay, it had separated. Obviously, you've got to stir it. But there was like a block of wax at the bottom that was so flipping hard. Like trying to stir that, it wasn't moving. So I had to like hack at it with an ice pick. Jimmy DiResta TM ice pick, you know, to break up the wax and then stir and stir and stir and stir and stir and stir and then stir some more. And it still wasn't quite dissolving. So then I like started, you know, breaking it up some more because it was like the bottom two thirds of the can, it felt like, was a solid block of wax.
That's how you know it's working.
I guess. You know, it was really kind of disturbing to see just how little oil was actually in the can, you know, once the wax. Yeah. So finally it got to the point where at least it was cloudy, you know, because it was clear before. And I still struggled on the first project I used it on. So I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to heat it up next time and kind of help, you know, get that wax dissolved. Second time I used it. Yeah, right. Basically. So the second time I used it, it was okay. I think I probably applied it too thickly. I know you're supposed to apply it thinly. I just didn't realize how thinly. So I was like, okay, well, it was a little better, but it still just didn't, you know, I was like, why am I just not going back to Enduravar? I love that finish. So this time I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it a shot again. Like, and I had seen several videos on YouTube. I think it was Matt Essley who like applies it with like a Scotch-Brite pad. And really like scrubs it into the surface. I'm like, okay, let's do that. But the problem is like the live edge, you can't scrub it in on a live edge. So I ended up using a foam brush and I'm wiping this thing back to the point where it almost doesn't look like there's finish on there. And I still end up with this like waxy, cloudy finish when it's dry. I just feel like I've gotten like a bad can of Osmo. Like, They forgot to, you know, when they're adding the wax into the solution, like they forgot to turn off the tap and I've got two thirds wax. There doesn't seem to be any way that I can not make it like a waxy to the touch or even cloudy type finish. So I
where did you order this can from?
I hate to say it. I think it was Rockler.
Oh,
I don't know maybe that, they don't really move matters. That much. I bought it online. You know what? No, I think it was Amazon. Something like that.
Because I don't. Does Rockler even carry Osmo?
Yeah, they may not.
I guess they do. Yep. I'm looking right now. They do.
But I mean, the distributor shouldn't make any difference because it's not like they're doing anything to it. You know, it was a sealed can. It's not like, well, you know, Rockler or the other Rockler, you should have opened that can and inspected it before you sold it. No, thank you. Don't do that. So I don't know. What's the expression? A poor woodworker blames his tools. I don't get it. People rave about this thing and I have had,
I think
nothing
the problem is though,
you've
And you've explained a situation where I don't think the formula was what it should have been. So it's hard to judge it, especially if you still got that clump down there and it's not going into solution.
Yeah. And it's,
you might
it's
not,
still
you're
there.
Just not getting, you're not using it as intended because it's not the right mixture.
So you're saying I should spend more money and buy another can?
I'm saying you should stop experimenting and go back to Enduravar.
That's kind of what I feel like.
If that's what makes you happy, then do that.
Well, I mean, I've seen finishes with Osmo and it's definitely, it looks great. You know, it's got that wonderful close to the wood look and it's like, you know, people describe the feel of it. It's kind of like this soft feel and it's like, oh, that looks wonderful. It immediately makes me think of like Caleb James' work. Like, I don't know if he uses Osmo, but that or like the soap finish that Christopher Schwarz made kind of popular with his stick chairs, that idea. So I love the idea, especially for small things like boxes, you know, that are being picked up and handled a lot and stuff. But yeah, so now I've got a live edge that has like a waxy substance on it. I've got to figure out how to get it off. I think I'm just going to like take a heat gun to it and try to bake it off. The excess or the slightly waxy feel on the surfaces, hey, no big deal. I'll just run it through my planer. Wax is going to be good for my planer, right? You know, but
yeah.
I just, every time I'm like, well, let's give it a try. Let's try it again. And I hate myself for doing it.
Yeah. Why? It's a good product, though. It is good. I wish I had a better experience. I like it.
So I'm not crazy in thinking that maybe I have a bad product.
I think that's the likely situation. It's either, you know, there's three possibilities. You're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
It's bad. Or you just don't like what that finish is. Yeah. Right. Well, like there's only three possibilities here.
I mean, I will take the blame on one instance, like two applications ago. I know it went on too thick and it felt like it was thin, but I was still like, it was like I was applying like Enduravar, you know, where you get that somewhat wet look that was way too much. I learned from that. This latest one, I honestly, like, I was worried that I was pulling off too much, and it still comes back. Mm-hmm. You know, it's highly possible on the live edge that I just didn't do it enough because it's so, you know, such a very variable surface, you know, bumpy, lumpy surface. But man.
Especially on a live edge. I mean, almost any finish is going to, especially one that you have to wipe back, is going to be problematic there.
Yeah. So that probably was the bad choice for the live edge anyway. I should have just stuck to Endurovar. I got 2 gallons of the stuff. What's wrong with me?
Lesson learned.
Anyway.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Carrying on.
Hey, Matt.
Hello. How are you doing?
Hi.
It's hello. Me.
Anyway, I swapped the motor in my planer. Finally.
I sold.
That was done.
It's cool.
That was the, what are we going to call that? Like, everything that could possibly go wrong or be a problem happened.
Yeah. Was this a necessary change or an upgrade?
Yeah, I don't remember the origin of this. Why did you swap the motor in your planer?
The start winding on the old motor went out. It was like fried.
Okay.
So I started down the diagnostics of that probably like a month ago. Like buying, I'm like, oh, I just, it's not starting, it's just buzzing. So usually that's a start capacitor. So I'm like, oh, just buy a new start capacitor, whatever. I swap it and still doing it. I'm like, oh, okay, that means something else is messed up. But then, of course, being the person I am, I start taking things apart.
There you go.
No, I start, why not just take the motor apart? Why the hell not? So I pull the motor apart. It's got a bunch of burning on the switch, the starter switch. And then I pull the whole back bail cover off the motor, and like the start winding's like super burnt. I'm like, okay, this is probably, you know, not realistically salvageable. Like, yes, you could have the start winding rewound or whatever. I'm like, it's a 3 horsepower import motor. It's like you're gonna spend more on rewinding it than buying a new one anyway. I'm like, this is the moment I've been waiting for, but at the wrong time.
Right.
Because I wanted to put a bigger motor in there since I switched it out to that the bird head, because it doesn't chew through as much wood as the straight knives could in one pass. So this motor I got from a viewer like 3 years ago, he ordered a motor for something he was doing, and they sent him one like in a cardboard box, this one. And it's a 100-pound motor in a cardboard box.
Oh, geez.
So it didn't must be make one hell it of a there box. Very well. So they sent him a new one to replace it, and they said, just take the motor plate off and dispose of the motor. And obviously, the easiest way to dispose of the motor is to send it to Matt.
Yeah.
There you go. That's what I did.
Bum, bum, bum. Matt Cremona. And
like son. Oh, wait. Don't we have one of those pictures someone photoshopped Matt? That's just Sanford and Son. Okay. We got to find that and repost it on Instagram.
That's good. So I've had it sitting here for a while. I had it in the crate that he sent it to me. And so he sent me the pictures of how it looks. I'm like, okay, it's just kind of, you know, beat up a little bit. It's dented. I'm like, I don't care how it looks. It's going to be in a cabinet. So like the fan cover is all dented and beat up. So like the fan rubs. So I had to straighten the fan cover and fix all of the bolts that hold that thing on, because they're all bent and like banana shaped. And then I got that fixed and I hook it up. I'm like, it's not working. I pull the cover plate off of the capacitor, which had a big dent in it. I'm like, oh, maybe the capacitor's got bumped or something. No, it's like completely cracked and leaking capacitor juice everywhere. So then I had to order a capacitor for it. Got those in. And then I realized, since there's no plate on the motor, I forgot that it's actually a slower speed motor than the motor that was in there. So now I need to adjust my pulley sizes. So I put a bigger pulley on it to keep the RPMs the same, which is fine. But now the guard doesn't fit on anymore, so I have to make a new guard for it too.
So at the end of this, I'm hoping this thing was too big to fit in the garage, so now you need a new garage door.
Oh, I forgot about that one too. The motor was bigger than the old one, so now I put the planer on riser blocks, so it actually fit in there.
But can you reach it now that you work at it? I mean,
it's too high.
It's kind of high now. This is kind of high. Step stool.
I know you're not a tall man, Matt, so do you need to build another step stool to use your planer?
I should probably do that. And the other one was too that I wasn't planning on having to put riser blocks in it at first. So the calculation I did for the new belt length was wrong. So I had to wait for a second set of belts to come in. And then the second set of belts, the supplier shipped it via FedEx. And I forgot that in the winter, FedEx doesn't even attempt delivery at my house. They like, at the end of the day, they just say like, oh, it's a weather delay. We'll do it later. And they'll do that till four times, which normally I'm like, yeah, it's kind of annoying, but what they're delivering isn't consequential at all. But now I'm like, I'm waiting for these belts so I can like put my planner back together and use it. Because I want to make a project.
They all watch your Instagram. They've seen what happens to UPS when they come to your house. So
it's kind of like, they've heard.
They actually try though. That's the best part. Like Amazon tries when they get up there. But regardless, like they'll even like this is a, they'll walk it up the driveway, like on foot, or leave it down there. I don't care. But just like just deliver it. I don't care.
Jeez, that's annoying.
Don't tell me there's a weather delay, and I know you didn't even try. I kind of get the feeling that like the driver's like, oh, it's like the last delivery because it's always like at 6:30 at night. It's like, oh, I'll just say it's a weather delay and go back home.
Right.
That's kind of the vibe I get. And eventually it's like, oh, it's been 4 days. I got delivered this. Someone's going to yell at me.
Oh, jeez.
That's the vibe I get from FedEx here, at least. I don't know.
The vibe I get is that they don't know what they're doing. At least here in this area.
But okay, well.
Just my experience.
That's great.
So, end of the story here. It works. It's all good.
Yeah, I just got to make a new guard for it before the internet has a heart attack.
Yeah.
About me running
with
no guard.
You get your sweet locks caught in there. You don't want that.
there's that part too. So, yeah, it's working. It's running. I haven't actually tested it yet to see how much more power it has, the feeling of power. Mm-hmm. I ran an inch wide piece of wood through it to test it last night. Okay, it works. That's great.
How old is the planer to begin with? Because you and I have the same planer. Okay, yeah, I know yours is older than mine. But still, you have like run some serious linear footage through that thing. Haven't you done multiple flooring jobs? And
It's done a lot, so I can't complain, I guess.
No, seriously, that's just really, as a fellow Grizzly owner, you know, because they often get kind of, oh, their quality control is not the best. You know, that's the difference between Grizzly and some of the other gold brands.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But like I've had zero problem, but I know I don't run nearly the linear footage that you do. Like hand tool shop with only one power tool. You know, my poor Grizzly planer is probably envious of other Grizzly planers they used on a more regular basis. But
yeah, I'm not still, very gentle with my stuff either. I'm like, my stuff should keep up with me. It's
like a bull in a china shop over here.
Yeah.
A little bull.
Well, the funny thing
Matt
is like,
definitely, you know, does not spin the planer wheel only once. Two or three, four times. No.
Right.
Until I can't fit the wood anymore. That's a quarter inch.
That's it.
There you go.
If it goes in, it planes. Yes,
exactly.
Bottom line. That's Matt's role. But Matt's one of those people who actually needs to change the gearbox oil once in a while, unlike morons like me who change it just for funsies.
The only time I changed it was I had to change it to swap the head.
Yeah.
That was it. I'll do maintenance. Are you kidding me? Just wait till it yells at me and then I fix something.
Yeah. You maintain when it breaks. Yeah. That's how it's done.
I'm too busy doing other things.
And what's the deal with the gift boxes here? What's going on?
Like, I should make a project because like, and I just needed to do something creative. I'm like, I've been like doing nothing fun, air quotes fun, and like, you know, in a creative sense, I gotta get those creative juices flowing. So I made some quick boxes. I've been doing this thing for a year now where I release a video every Saturday, and it works great if you have a buffer. But as soon as you run out of a buffer, you're like, crap, I got a week here to make a whole video and release it. So in 3 days, I shot and edited a video making some gift boxes.
Nice.
Right. Those serve two purposes.
Well, they look nice. I saw them on Instagram and they make that fun puppy noise when you pull the lid off.
I have wanted to do that for a long time. I haven't ever done it before with the liner that holds the lid in there.
Yeah,
it's extremely satisfying. Like
that's
hashtag so satisfying.
It's like super worthy. Satisfying. They just like the air friction fit, like it pops off. Whereas the lid's on there firmly enough that you can like flip it upside down and shake it around, but it's not so firm that like it fights you when you're trying to pull the lid off. But it's I don't know, just so nice. It's just cool.
It's just that the sweet spot where in 6 months you won't be able to get the lid off.
It's a box. There's no wood moving in boxes. It's too small.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that rule.
That's what screwdrivers are for.
Great.
Yeah.
Comes with its own little pry bar.
Yeah, you should have that included for sure.
Just strapped to the bottom. Like right a little recess in the bottom where it's like inlaid in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what's that for? You'll know in 6 months what that's for. That's good, man. All right. So we got a kickback here from Adria. Let me see. Where is it? There we go.
Hey, Mark, Matt, and Shannon. I just want to give you some kickback and a follow-up question on some things recently. You read my email a couple episodes ago about me flattening the cookies, and I wanted to just say we did get married. We actually went to Mark's open house at the new fire shop, or firehouse wood shop, for our honeymoon, interestingly enough. That's and awesome. My husband, he saw the 3D printing and laser cutting that Nicole was doing. So now he's actually researching getting into that. So I guess we can say that that's all Nicole's fault on top of the stuff that's Matt's fault. I wanted to also apologize to Shannon. My husband is still busting my chops about having let Shannon down using the router sled as a member of the hand tool school. So I just wanted to ask, how would you flatten a cookie like that with just hand tools if you weren't going to use power tools? I'm still in orientation semester, so I haven't got far enough to see that yet. And lastly, you also mentioned in the last episode about somebody that was doing the Benjamin Button playthrough of the Wood Talk episodes. That's me, and I am on episode 19 now. So I've been loving the series so far. So keep up the good work, and thanks again.
Yeah. Wow. Well, when you get past 10, you'll start to not love the series.
Nope. The last 10 are going to be a little bit harder.
A little bit harder there. You guys remember when I talked about making an end grain cutting board entirely by hand and how I would never do that ever again?
I do, actually. I do. Yes.
Yeah. That's kind of what like flattening an end grain cookie would be like. You just, there's no secret. Just use a jack plane and go at it. It just sucks.
So you're going to hate life.
Have realistic expectations.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. You know, and I think anytime I get this question a lot, like, how would you do that with hand tools? The answer is usually quite simple. Like, it just sucks. Like that particular task, you know, like, oh, look at this Chippendale pie crust table. Well, how would you do that, you know, undulating edge with a chisel? The answer is with a gouge and just carve the edge. That's how it's done. You know, there's no router for it. There's no special scratch stock or anything like that. So in this case, there's no, like, you could build like a sled for your router plane. I can't even get that out. Sorry. Sorry. No,
that would be great.
Don't do that.
I'd like to see
that. Definitely don't That'd do that. Good. No, I mean, you grab yourself a jack plane, like a larger lower angle plane. If you had like a bevel up jack, would be really nice. It doesn't have to be a low angle plane. But like a block plane, that would absolutely suck. Like the tiny mass of that thing would just not be fun. So use a larger plane like a jack and you can knock it down, you know, focus on the high spots first and then grab yourself some sandpaper. Because you're probably going to end up with like tool marks and crap all over it. And you could work at it for another day or so to get rid of those tool marks or just get it flat ish and grab yourself some 80 grit sandpaper and work through the grits, frankly.
But the bottom line is you're telling her she did the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You did the right thing.
So Adria, tell your husband you're fine. You had permission.
Yeah. Tell him to go
to deviate from the
go 3D print you a router plane sled.
There you go. Yep. It might take a few prints to get there, but yeah, you'll get there.
Sure.
Okay. Well, you know who doesn't sell 3D printers?
Are you sure about that?
Really?
I don't know. Maybe we should check. Dang it. Pretty sure why do I do this to myself? Let me say 3D printer. Nope.
What, really?
Piranha FX conversion kit is what comes on. It's a CNC attachment.
Well, I'm sure they will soon
enough. So no. All right, Rockler, get with Prusa. Get yourself some 3D printers in stock. That would be great.
Like a blue one, please. It only uses blue filament.
That's right. It's the only disadvantage. Everything's blue.
All it does is print bench cookies. And
oh yeah.
Every time it's you print one, they charge for you.
Yeah. Oh, that'd man. Be great, actually.
That might not be a great idea for them.
Well, yeah, but every time you want to print one, you buy it and it just shows up on your printer.
I don't know.
Just pre-programmed with all the dust right
fittings. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That kind of stuff. Oh, yeah. Crap.
I think that that might be the future of fulfillment. That's like the next step in e-commerce. You buy this printer
file.
And then you just like dial it up. You know, tea, Earl Grey, hot. And out comes a bench cookie. I want a tea, damn it. Not a bench cookie.
A real cookie, not a bench cookie. All right, well, if you're looking to get some inspiration for your next project, you should head to Rockler.com. You could find over 100 free step-by-step plans ranging from shop projects like an outfeed table designed by the one and only Matthew Cremona, Esquire.
Yeah, by proxy. Just Esquire by proxy.
Yeah, he's married to one. To furniture for your house, like a new coffee table, to giftable small projects like a unique cutting board design. Rockler also shares how-to videos and woodworking tips so that you can create with confidence. And you can find a gallery with thousands of customer project images that provide even more inspiration. Find it all at Rockler.com. It's a great time of year to get inspired. You got a little bit more time maybe in the shop. It's nice and cold outside, so you can put on the Christmas music inside. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Get a hot cup of cocoa and replace your motors like Matt does.
I'm just glad to know that Rockler has over 100 free step-by-step plans and not 10,000 free step-by-step plans.
16,000.
Oh, we're up to 16 now?
Yep. And Matt, just in case you needed to know, Rockler has a very wide assortment of new planers.
You know, it actually crossed my mind.
Just bought.
It crossed my mind. I'm like,
See, but now you're committed, man. Like, now you're just belittling yourself.
I'm too far into this now. I've made it public. Like,
you get more, shop cred. That's like the woodworker's version of street cred. But you get more.
Look at it this way, just do what you could gang them together. So you could set the first planer to remove a quarter inch. And then the second planer would be your finishing pass, like a 32nd.
You're onto something.
You know? So
yeah, like a double drum situation.
Yes.
Ooh, I like
this. Just put them in line and think of the video you could do on getting them coplaner.
Well, I've been eyeballing planer sanders. So like maybe that's kind of the same thing.
Well, I think with what Matt does with a normal cutter head, and if you give him two cutter heads, there may not be a board coming out the other end. Right. Made a chipper.
I needed sawdust.
He just turned it into a chipper.
We're starting a garden, and Lindsay's like, this sawdust here is great, but you got any more? I got a little more ground cover to clean up. I'm like, give me a second. I'm going to head to the shop. I got a
trying
lot
to get my double planer.
Trying to make like a sand dart thing out there. So can you get some walnut over here, and we need some red over here?
Yeah.
Nice.
Different colors, please.
Good stuff. All right. Well, you can go to Rockler.com to find all that great stuff, and maybe make a little wish list or something. Send Matt some links to new planers. They got Laguna. They got Powermatic. Some Jet up in there. DeWalt.
At this point, everyone's comparing you and me. So
I know.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. This is getting dangerous. Very dangerous.
The most important message to our listeners is go buy a planer for yourself. And with the old one, just send it to Matt.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Apparently that's a thing. He'll make use of it. No.
Yeah. You want I do have an extra lunchbox planer now, Matt. You want that?
I have a Triton lunchbox planer, which is actually very handy when your planer's taken apart and you want to build a box.
Sure. Yeah, it is. Okay.
See, I think you're missing the point, Mark. You don't have to ask him if he wants it. Just send it.
Send it to him. Yeah.
Why do you gotta tell him all his secrets?
He's not gonna refuse.
That's how it works.
It might take four delivery attempts to get it to him, but
he might get it eventually. Without the never attempted delivery.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to our questions. I got one here from Andy. He says, "Where to start? Stupid question." That's his words, not mine. He says, love the show. Just working my way through all your past episodes. I'll be starting to build my own workshop soon, and we'll be looking to get a bandsaw, table saw, planer, and jointer to go in there. But which order should I buy these in? Can I mill boards with just the table saw? I have good dust collection and some handheld power tools, router, etc. But no hand tools. Could these fill in for any of the larger machines while I save up to buy them? Thanks for all you do. This is, I think we could probably have a show about this topic. There's a lot that we can get into, and I'm going to try to keep it somewhat short and sweet if possible. So yeah, there are a lot of things you can do, either substituting portable power tools for the larger cousins of those things. you can also get a lot more done with some of the tools than you might realize at first glance. Things like using a sled on a planer. If you want to establish a flat face before then flipping it over and using the planer as it's normally used. So you get one of those little planer jigs. You could probably do some Google searching and find a bunch of those versions that are pretty great. You can also use your table saw for jointing tasks. So if you have a board that's not straight line ripped, you can make a little sled that lets it ride up against the fence, but off of the table. And if you have it, the board kind of like clamped in a fixed position and push that through the blade, you're going to get a nice, excuse me, a nice straight edge on there to establish that first edge, which is a pretty handy thing to do. So I think if I'm looking at some kind of an order here, based on what you've said so far, I think having the table saw is a good idea, especially if you are you just like the idea of jigs and fixtures. You could do a whole lot with the table saw. The planer, I think, would be a good next choice because you could skip plane to get the thickness. I mean, being able to thickness your own material, it's really great. So, you know, if you're stuck with just what you can get at the store, it's going to be pretty limiting. So being able to thickness yourself and then also using sleds and things to sort of serve as that first step jointing operation that you normally use a jointer for, doing that with your planer is a pretty darn good way to go. Let's see. Hold off on buying the bandsaw. I think if you have a jigsaw, there's your way that you can cut curves. It's not absolutely essential to get the bandsaw. I think the bandsaw really comes into play when you're at that next step and you're resawing your lumber into different thicknesses. Maybe you're cutting veneer, things like that. That's when the bandsaw is going to be a good choice. I would also, you know, maybe go to the jointer next, but only when you're ready to get into that world of rough lumber. You want to buy things much thicker in a rough state, and it's just too much of a hassle to do all those other things we just talked about to get that board, you know, into some kind of state that it's ready for furniture. That's when you want to get that jointer. But that's now the jointer is really going to change the paradigm at that point in your shop, and you'll be able to do a lot more things. So it's a good choice, but I also think it's probably something to put, you know, more toward the end of that list. And then I'll also just mention that you might want to consider a miter saw. I do think that's great for breaking down stock. If you have a good tuned up miter saw, it's great for cross cuts on small pieces. So you don't have to do everything at the table saw. And, you know, until that point, though, a circular saw and a jigsaw can be used for some of that breakdown stuff as well. So that's my in a nutshell sort of recommendations. But I hope I gave that enough info because it's something that we could spend a lot of time on. And we're not going to today.
I like it. That was good. I got nothing.
Thank you.
I got nothing. This is from Brian. He says, I've been attempting woodwork for a few years. I like that. I'm still attempting woodwork now.
Haven't we all?
More than a decade later. I have some basic tools and now I'm interested in purchasing a hand plane. I do not plan on planing full boards, but would like something for cleaning up areas and light flattening, mainly crafting smaller furniture and jewelry box size items. Thinking something in the mid-price tier, $100 to $200. So, and, you know, certainly he wants some quality, maybe something that'll work nice out of the box. I'm glad to hear him say all this because, like, I think a smoothing plane is a fantastic place to start. Even if you were planing larger boards, the ability to kind of work through the shorter sole, allowing you to kind of go into the hills and valleys, really can clean up the board a lot faster. A lot of people tend to go with big, larger, longer planes, and they kind of struggle with them a little bit because they are designed to make things a heck of a lot flatter, generally way flatter than we actually need in our day-to-day woodworking. Plus, the smaller the pieces you are, the shorter the plane that you need. The smoother can help you maybe cut back on a little bit of the sanding. I'm not going to say all the sanding, but certainly it will help clean up the surface to cut back on some of that stuff. There are certainly some weird people out there who like sanding, but they're in a very small minority.
I love it.
So as far as a recommendation,
it's got to stand there.
It's when I listen to podcasts.
Yeah exactly. Honestly. That's what podcasts are for, is for sanding.
That's right.
Or hours on the indoor trainer. It's when I'm not easy. On Zwift,
you
I'm
get like
to
two
podcasts.
Shots with your camera of you sanding like real quick, and then you can spend the next 3 hours without worrying about the camera.
Yep, listening to audiobooks.
That's true.
Podcasts. I got my shots. I'm done. Whatever. Time to be a normal woodworker.
I think
again.
It might be a video problem though, right? Like we see that as you know, a reprieve, a little break from the videography. Whereas most people are like, no, sanding sucks. I want it over as soon as possible. But we're just weird.
Anyway.
All right. Sorry, Shannon.
So if Brian wants to spend, yeah, you know,
was this your question? Sorry.
About that. I feel somewhat obligated to mention Rockler's Benchdog smoothing plane.
Somewhat obligated.
I will include a link to it, and only because I do not personally have experience with it. I know a lot of people who've bought Rockler's Benchdog brand of planes and are quite happy with it. Many of them will compare them to the other Rockler's line of Wood River planes. I do have personal experience with a Wood River number 3. I've had one for 10 years. Still a great plane, and it's not even actually like Wood River does that like version thing, like version 3 or 4 is what they're on right now. I think mine is a version 2, and supposedly they keep making improvements, but I've been quite happy with the Wood River number 3 that I have. Just looking at them, the Benchdog and the Wood River, they do have a lot of similarities, but again, lots of people have talked to me, given me feedback on the Benchdog brand. One of these days I should really just go to Rockler and say, give me one of those to try it out. They probably won't give it to me. They'll say, yeah, we'll give you one. Where's the money? In which case,
just tell them to send it to your 3D printer.
There we go.
That's right.
that'll get me even faster response.
Look, I got a sweet hookup for you, Shannon. I can get you free shipping.
That's true. That's true.
I got a code.
Turns out I can get everybody free shipping.
I haven't actually checked on the prices. Yeah, $123 for a number 4, $124 for a Benchdog number 4, compared to the Wood River. Ooh, $215. That's quite a delta.
Dang!
That's quite a difference.
Really? Why?
But anyway, either one of those brands, I mean, Stanley does make new versions of it. I've found really inconsistent results there. So at $124, I would recommend going to Rockler, getting your free shipping and getting yourself a number 4 smoothing plane. Don't get caught up in the whole 4.5s and 5.25s and all that stuff. Just get yourself a number 4. That's going to be like the most versatile plane for you. And I think certainly you're going to make sure you have some way to sharpen the blade. While it will be somewhat sharp out of the box, it could be sharper. So keep that in mind. As far as what you're spending, there will be some need to have some way to sharpen that blade. So that's kind of cost a little bit extra there. So go for it.
Nice. There you go. You know, it's a bulldog on the shop dog, or what is it? Bench dog brand.
Yeah.
So how can you not love it?
There you go.
Dougie is on there.
There you go. I'm sure Dougie was the inspiration for it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I don't think he was alive yet, but that's fine.
That's fine.
We'll go
very
with your
forward
version.
Thinking like of them.
Yep. They knew.
All right. I got a question here from Monty. Says, I just started listening to the podcast and I'm slowly working my way through some of the older episodes. Recently, I was listening to episode 501, where you discussed benchtop jointers and had a question about something that was mentioned briefly in passing, jointer bed length and how that relates to how long of stock you could effectively flatten. In the past, I think I've heard the rule of thumb that 2 times the bed length was the magic number, though I was never clear whether that was 2 times the length of the infeed bed or 2 times the length of the total infeed and outfeed. What has been your experience with this? There's even a question here for Shannon.
Oh boy.
Bonus question for Shannon. How would you relate this to, say, hand planes like a 7 or 8? Even the shortest benchtop jointer has beds longer than a number 8. But I never see anybody saying you can't joint anything longer than a 4-foot board with a hand plane.
It's because hand planes are better. Doy.
God. Easy.
I think on the tail end of this, Shannon, you can jump in on this too, but I think this will kind of flow into our discussion on the bed length. Is as you get kind of longer than that, you got to be smarter than the tool you're using and actually like take a look at the board you're actually planing or jointing or whatever you're doing to this board to have a really clear idea of what the board is doing geometrically. So then you can more effectively make that thing straight. How do you feel about that, Shannon?
I agree. Yeah.
It's a human element there.
I would refine that by saying topographically.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah.
Oy.
Oh my
God. Oh Lord.
Big word.
because you made that map of the US.
Yes.
Seriously. Yeah. Now everything is map terminology and nomenclature.
It is now.
Jeez. Shan the cartologist.
He's gonna say, if you want to get all the links, they'll be in the legend for this show.
Ha! I hadn't thought about that. I love that.
Oh my God.
Yay.
Let me quickly inlay a compass rose into that first.
Look a little south in the show notes, guys. Oh. You'll see.
The themes.
I'm sorry. Oh, Lord. All right, go ahead. Map jokes. The best.
Oh man, so on, at least on power jointers, my experience is like, I would say 1.5 times the total length of the whole machine is kind of where things are. You don't have to think too much. Longer than that, you got to start looking at a thing.
Again, that sums up woodworking. As little thinking as possible.
As little thinking as possible. Yes, that's exactly what it is. Once you get to that state, that's a nice thing. Like as on a tangent, like once you get like your shop set up and like your skills set up to a point where you don't have to think as much, that's when things really start happening. Like the creativity can start flowing because you're not worried about like, is this going to be flat or is this going to work out? Of course it's going to work out. You already know it's going to work out. You can think about other things.
Yeah. Well, this goes back to the dust collection thing. It's like these little barriers in your way before doing the actual work. And, you know, this is one of those barriers. You remove that, then you get into this flow state.
Yeah. And actually going back to your thing on, what was it on like tool order or whatever, and yeah, like the jointer. I think like when you get to the stage of like, I have those things, now I'm going to add a jointer. The jointer changes so much for you. Because mm-hmm. now you can make things flat, like with no effort. You're not sitting yeah. there trying to set up a little sled for your planer to shim a board so it can like go through and get flattened. Just slap that board on the table and run it through and you got a flat board. Mm-hmm. And every time it's flat, you're like, okay, now I can actually use flat boards all the time because it's easy. I'm not going to like, oh, it's right. flat enough, whatever. I mean, I can force it through and make it okay. And you realize like if your board is flat and you're trying to cut joinery on it, like on a table saw, it becomes so much easier. And you're like, why can I never get my tendon shoulders to line up as I'm cutting all the way around it? Because you're making stock that's not like rectangular or square or parallel or whatever. But now you're like, oh, all my stock is always parallel and square and perfect. Now, no matter what I do, my tendon shoulders always line up when I'm cutting all the way around. Like those kind of like little things like that. Like back in the day, like I could never for the life of me get that last cut to line up. You're going all the way around, you get to that last cut, and like the shoulder steps over like a 1/16 of an inch. You're like, what the hell happened yeah. here? Right. Well, maybe the end of your board wasn't cut square. Or maybe you had like a parallelogram board or a rhombus board mm-hmm. or something you're trying to cut on. Well, yeah, it's not going to work out. But you get to that flow state of like, okay, it's going to work out because my stock is perfect. I don't have to think about that anymore. I can be thinking about other things. Like, how is this design working? Is this the best way to mm-hmm. do this? Can I use a different grain orientation here?
Is Should this the I best have chili for lunch?
Did I have? Do I have to go potty right now? Okay, can I hold it? Can I make it?
Can I hold it through the whole car ride, or should I go potty?
Should I go
now,
or should I risk it? I don't know.
Sorry, there was just way too much serious woodworking talk happening. Got to fix that.
Thanks for bringing that this back to you know.
That's important. Important to derail back to the
jointer thing. This one thing that I think is a major factor is how flat or straight is the board to begin with. And then that length becomes a whole lot more forgiving.
Right.
Even if you have something that fits, you know, it looks like you should be able to joint that. If it's enough of a cup, it still may never do that because it's always riding down below the table surface. So if you have something like this is times where like I can joint a board that's way longer than belongs going on that jointer. If let's say I take a track saw mm-hmm. and I clean up the edge first. Right. So as long as you are mostly straight to begin with and then you're just fine tuning, you can get away with a much longer board. But if it's way out of whack, then now you're really restricted to what can fit on that infeed side.
Yes.
I know I've brought this up in shows in the past, but I think it's also important. Like I see people jointing long boards that don't need to be jointing long boards. Like their project calls for 3-foot parts and they're jointing an 8-foot board. Yeah. You will save so much wood if you just cross cut it shorter first, if you've got a bow,
you know the
and
difference
that 8-foot
between
board.
Jointing an 8-foot board and 3-foot board physically.
Oh yeah. Well that too.
Jeez.
Yeah. It could be a nightmare.
I mean, I don't care how precisely set up your joiner is. You're going to struggle to get that, you know, if nothing else, just the hand pressure down on an 8-foot board is going to cause any bow to go out, you know, as you're pushing down with the joiner pads. But if you were to cut off a 3-foot section or, you know, cut off a 4-foot section because you want to give yourself room to play with or whatever, that 4-foot board will joint so much faster on a power joiner or a hand plane for that matter, than trying to joint the whole board. I see that all the time. You know, well, the board is 9-foot for the lumber yard. I'm going to joint one face and then joint the edge and then they cross cut it. Like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. You just had to remove. You had to make like 7 passes on the joiner in order to flatten out that bow. If you'd cut it, you could have done it in one pass, you know, and not have to lug around that 9-foot board.
What are you talking about? Just make the cut depth deeper. One pass.
Well, there's that.
What are you talking about? Come on.
All right. Are we good?
I don't know.
As far as the hand planes go, I think what I see more often is the other way around. People using too big of a plane on a smaller board, like using a 24-inch number 8 on like an 18-inch long board. Like, I always try to say the plane should be shorter than the board you're trying to joint, generally around 2/3, if possible. If the plane is as long as the board you're jointing, it will work, but it's just a lot more work to do that.
Hmm. Okay.
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 We are good.
I think that's going to do it for us.
That was good. I'm glad we had this talk on jointers.
Yeah, it was a good one. I enjoyed it much. Well, family owned since 1954, Rockler is your go-to source for high quality and innovative woodworking tools, finishing supplies, hardware, lumber, and expert advice. Whether you're building a simple bookshelf, a custom desk, or new kitchen cabinets, Rockler has everything you need to make your next project a success. Visit rockler.com and use the code WOODTALK, that's all one word, to receive free shipping on most orders over $49. And remember to head to rockler.com/woodtalk to enter for your chance to win a $250 gift card.
Right on. And remember, if you've won one of those gift cards, tell us what you bought. Come, mm-hmm. You know, send us a voicemail. Let us know all the things that you bought. More importantly, how much did you actually spend versus what you told your spouse that you got with that $250 gift card? It's an important part. Yeah, it was all only $250, dear. No big deal. So yeah, send us some questions, folks. We love your questions. We want to know what you know, leftover gear you have that you're preparing to send to Matt's house. Those are all important. Go to woodtalkshow.com, fill out the form there, or send us an email or a voicemail at woodtalkshow@gmail.com. We love hearing from you. Thanks for sending us stuff to talk about on the show. Because if we didn't have your stuff, Lord knows what we talk about. It wouldn't be pretty.
It'd be bad.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, everybody, and we will catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.